You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids!
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's Dance Off, bro! Me and you!
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool. I mean, Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff. This is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello, hello, folks. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show on a lovely Friday night. This is Martin Bruda, and with me in the studio I have...
Chris Gilpin.
And...
Dan Collins.
Woo! The gang's all here. Almost. Tweedle's not here. Where's Tweedle? I think he's at a show.
I think so.
Anyways. Yeah. So, comic books. Something. What's up, guys? Did we have a good week? Did we read anything this week? Do we have anything to talk about? Can I rant a little bit right off the bat?
Right off the bat,
rant.
Sure.
Right off the bat?
Yeah.
Marvel announces that they're going to do Marvel Corner Box homages. Now, for those of you kids that don't remember, Marvel used to have little art in the corner so that when the comics were displayed on racks and stuff, you could see what title it was just from the little art. It was a really cool thing. Holy jumping Yemeni. This is exactly what Marvel was missing.
Yeah.
Exactly. They're bringing back cover boxes. Yay. Except they're not. They're releasing a few full-page cover corner box homages, covers, variant covers. So it's not like there's going to be anything else on the cover. It's just, and they got black stripes on the side.
The entire cover is a cover box.
The entire cover is a cover box.
Yeah.
This is exactly what Marvel needs.
Yep.
This is going to bring me right back.
That's right.
Just right back. I'm in.
My sarcasm meter is going off.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Okay. I just had to get that out of the way because I think it's the stupidest thing ever. But, you know.
You are wearing a Spider-Man shirt.
I am wearing a Spider-Man shirt.
Yeah.
I am wearing a Spider-Man shirt. But I don't read the Spider-Man comic book, unfortunately. I just wanted to get that right out of the way. Dan, you're looking at a book there. What's that book?
Actually, you know what? I read an entire graphic novel in 2 days.
Which is kind of strange because you don't read that much.
Because
Did it come in plastic?
No, it wasn't encased in plastic. It came in a manila envelope from Toronto, and it's the Hogtown Horror compilation that was Kickstarter. Ran through October, I believe. They were talking about it being like a Halloween thing.
Yeah.
So the Kickstarter ran through October, and now I finally got my thing, and it actually came in when I was feeling kind of sick, and I laid in bed all day and read this thing, and it's amazing. 17 grade A tales of terror, it says. Lots of great Canadian talent from this. It's basically a horror comic book, an anthology of short horror comics. Each comic is 10 pages. Some great people you would know, like Jason Liu does the art on a thing, and I should pass this over to you in a second so you can check that one out because the art is just phenomenal.
Excellent. Like, we all like Jason here.
Yeah, it's amazing. Christopher Yao has a few entries into this. Just looking to see if there's any other names that jump out at me. Lots of people I don't really know, but who, like, there's definitely some artists in here that I read the story and was like, you know what, I would read something from them or look at their comics because the art's great or that story was great. So if you get a chance to pick that up, I definitely would. Hogtown Horror.
Now I got delivered pretty darn quick after the end of the Kickstarter.
I think it's been 2 to 3 weeks, which I guess is like the next day service as far as Kickstarters.
Yeah, exactly. So they must have had it all done, ready,
yeah,
prepaid, and then the Kickstarter money flow in to kind of pay off. As opposed to some creators are using the Kickstarter money to actually generate the project. Yeah. So that's kind of cool that it came so quick, right?
Yeah.
And I know there's some Kickstarters, I mean, 2 years, I'm still waiting.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's Hogtown Horror.
Hogtown Horror.
That's all I got.
Everybody's all Black Friday'd out today. Everybody's like, I know Dan here, you've been up since what time?
I had to get up at 4:30 to go sell some stuff.
4:30 on Black Friday. How'd that go anyways? Was it busy or?
It was busy, but not as busy as yesterday.
Yeah.
So.
Because I was
last year. See, I'm so tired. I can't. My time's all gone. It wasn't as busy as yesterday, but
because I was reading online that they were saying that a lot of people are doing just that, shopping online as opposed to actually going. So
we were actually really busy yesterday because all of our sales started yesterday, anyways.
Yeah, there you go. So everybody wanted to beat the crowds for Black Friday, so they came in on was it Charcoal Thursday?
Charcoal Thursday, and
Gray Thursday. Sharpen your pen.
Cool
Thursday.
Stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Did you buy any cool comic book stuff out there? Or?
Well, I bought like a Ninja Turtles pillow for $5.
There you go.
And like a Star Wars blanket and a Doctor Who blanket and stuff.
Who doesn't want a Doctor Who blanket?
I think I have 3 or 4 of those at this point.
I still remember the coolest thing you guys had at the store was that TARDIS refrigerator. I never ended up getting one.
I have one.
That's awesome.
Almost new in box because I've taken it out of the box, but like I haven't actually used it yet.
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah. A little mini fridge in the shape of the TARDIS. That's wicked.
Speaking of Doctor Who.
Yes.
We can talk about an animated Doctor Who.
Yes, briefly. We should. Absolutely. Doctor Who expert Dan Collins will now regale us with the lovely tale of...
Power of the Daleks.
Excellent.
Now, don't forget, I've been up since 4:30. So Power of the Daleks was the first Patrick Troughton story from the second Doctor from season 4. And it was one that was wiped by... It was wiped by the BBC way back when in the 70s. And
yeah, because they moronically just reused the old tapes, right? Not thinking they'd ever rebroadcast it.
They had no intention to ever reshow it, and they figured nobody would ever care, right? So yeah, they wiped a whole bunch of the episodes from a lot of the Doctors, and right now the first and second Doctors both have some episodes still missing. Quite a few, 97 between the two of them.
Holy, that's a lot.
That is a lot, but they decided to be nice to the fans, and in conjunction with BBC America, BBC has animated Power of the Daleks.
Now, is that because they got a tape of the original audio, though?
Well, they've had the audio for a long time.
Yeah, so they had the audio, so they just need to rebuild the animation. So this is going to be Troughton's voice, and
yes, this is awesome. The exact audio that you would have heard if you watched it. And so yeah, have you watched any of it?
No, not yet. I'm waiting for Wednesday.
Yeah, because I bought the season pass on iTunes, and I've watched some of it on iTunes, and it's great. Like, Patrick Troughton is my favorite Doctor. I'm a huge fan, and this story has always been one of my favorite stories. It's one of the only stories I've listened to on audio, because I would prefer to just watch them, but I was like, you know what, it's his first story. I need to experience this. Yep. So I've listened to it a few times, and I watched it, and it's great. And it's going to be showing at the Galaxy Theater on Wednesday, I think at 7 o'clock.
And we're going. We're all going. Everybody's going.
You can find these sexy nerds there.
That's right.
So if you're looking for some autographs, or cover sketches or anything, we'll be at the Galaxy in an informal setting. Watching Doctor Who, there'll be 3 of us in the audience, so it shouldn't be too hard. That was like, I went to go see a Kevin Smith film once when they were there. It was Red State, and there was literally like 6 of us in the theater. Yeah. It was funny. They had some guy come up at the front. He was going to do trivia and stuff, and I looked more like Kevin Smith than he did. I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
But anyways, this should be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Galaxy's been doing that often now, haven't they? Didn't we see, we saw the Batman Killing Joke cartoon. It was shown once.
Yeah.
For one night. What was the last one that they did?
They did that new Batman Robin.
Yeah, the Batman 66 cartoon.
Yeah.
Have you guys watched that one?
No. It's on my wish list for Christmas.
It wasn't that great?
I did-ish. I have it, and I just kind of fired it up, and I started watching, and I fell asleep on the couch. So.
Yeah. You kind of have to be in the mood for Batman 66, right?
So, yeah. No, I fell asleep on the couch.
A highly caffeinated mood.
Yeah, exactly. So that should be good. That'll be great.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
I got another rant. Do you guys mind?
Nope.
Because I'm telling you. So, Facebook group, Comic Historians. I don't know if you've watched. I'm in this group, right? Comic Book Historians. And we're talking about stuff. And some guy pipes up. Why doesn't John Byrne get the deserved attention that it should be exalted upon his holiness, John Byrne?
But you hate these people that focus on one comic book creator and just can't stop talking
about it. Yeah, exactly.
Brutal.
Arthur Adams. Chris Gilbert. Arthur Adams.
That's right.
But he was going on about how John Byrne doesn't get the respect he deserves because he was so great and so amazing. And it just an onslaught of messages because I'm not sure if you're familiar or not, but John Byrne, like, he craps on his Alpha Flight run. He says that he was given a bunch of cut-rate characters that were supposed to be the joke to the X-Men, and the X-Men were always supposed to kick the Alpha Flight and always show them how it's supposed to be done and stuff. So he got inferior characters to work with, and he hates the run. Fantastic Four, he hates that run that he did. You know, he does Man of Steel. He says that he was never allowed to do Man of Steel the way he wanted to, the Superman reboot. So he hates that run. And these are the three runs that everybody jumps up and down and says, this is his the best work and this is the greatest work. And even nowadays, the only thing he's done, he did a comic book called Higher Ways, which was late as snot, four-issue miniseries. How does a four-issue miniseries ship late? You know, don't solicit it till you got all four issues done. And Star Trek photo novella that he did where he cut and paste pictures from various Star Trek episodes into a story. But he wrote the story, so, you know, he gets some credit for that. And now he's released some kind of coloring book, which he calls a coloring graphic album. And even when I was talking, there was a bit on one of the forums at one point in time where he says that the work that he hands in now is more like the sketches that he used to do, the preliminary sketches, back in the day when he was doing Alpha Flight. So even by his own volition, his current work is crap compared to his other work. And the out of the woodwork came this onslaught of John Byrne nerds who are ready to put him up there with Kirby and stuff.
Yeah.
Like you read John Byrne, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So what did you like about John Byrne?
I liked his work.
Did you read the Fantastic Four?
Yeah.
I haven't read that run yet. I'm still in the middle of collecting it. But I loved Alpha Flight.
Yeah, I love his artwork.
I love the Superman.
Yeah, I don't think anything. Now, what's in the coloring book?
It's a science fiction story called Stowaway to the Stars.
Okay, so he's not using these pictures that he hated and put them in.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, how can you, see, this is the other thing. I haven't reread the Alpha Flight book in a while.
Yeah.
Like, I went back and I reread Karate Kid. Because I was fond memories of the DC, not wax on, wax off, Daniel-san.
Yeah, I was like,
But from the Legion of Superheroes, it was a 70s title just before the DC implosion. And I had fond memories of it as a kid. I reread it. It's unreadable. It's horrible. It's just so cheesy and horrible. So I haven't reread his Alpha Flight run. I haven't read the Fantastic Four run yet. I haven't read those Superman issues in a while. Maybe if I reread Alpha Flight, I'm going to see all these flaws that he's pointing out. So, you know, how can you... They're saying, no, his art is fantastic. He's great. He was a legend in the 80s. That makes him a legend forever. And I'm like, well, no, he treats his fans like crap.
Yeah.
He poo-poos his own work. He's like Alan Moore saying, hey, here's this Watchmen comic that everybody loves. Oh, by the way, you must be an idiotic moron with the mental capacity of an 8-year-old to like superhero comics.
Yeah.
But thanks for making me rich for making superhero comics.
That's right.
You know, so all of a sudden you're reading that book and you're thinking to yourself, so does he qualify for the Hall of Fame? If there was a comic book creator Hall of Fame, does he qualify?
I think so.
Just based on his art.
Yeah, because I can picture in my head right now, like shots from the Fantastic Four, and he's got that style that you recognize.
Yeah, like there's no way you can not recognize a piece of John Byrne art.
Yeah.
Even I could recognize it.
There you go.
That's right. Yeah.
If now, it was in plastic.
If you're making a scale, because there are some people in the Sports Hall of Fames that aren't not necessarily.
I was just
going to
say, are we doing like first ballot, second ballot?
Yeah, exactly. So if you were to say a great creator belongs in the Hall of Fame, and then a greater creator belongs on the second floor of the Hall of Fame, and the greatest creators belong on the third floor Hall of Fame, would you put them... I mean, we agree he's in the building just from the basis of his art. Does his attitude and does his comments and his reduced capacity over the past 20 years, 25 years of doing not much, does that knock him down a few floors? Is he in the door?
I'd put him on the second, even with his attitude.
Yeah.
I agree.
All right.
Because, like, you don't... I feel like you don't necessarily take... if you're looking at this from an emotional perspective, they don't usually take the whole career when you're thinking about this kind of thing.
They're like, yeah, exactly.
Well, I just remember Fantastic Four, and it was great. So here we go. You know,
like how many sports characters, sports people had a horrible last 3 years of their career, but they still got in.
So,
or were a bunch of whiners when they got drafted by the Nordiques and didn't want to play.
Oh, I don't even want to because we'll turn this into
a sports show.
We'll turn this into a sports show about whiny Oshawa Generals.
Yeah,
but anyways,
so like I agree. I would say he would be like I would say second floor, and you know, every creator probably has when you reach the amount of time he's been around, the amount he's created and put out. Of course, he's not going to be happy with some of it, and he's going to talk about it. I don't know.
Now, the other thing bothers me, he's a Canadian, right? And he, like, poo-poos being Canadian. He never admits to being Canadian. He says he's American, and he's like,
well, then he's out of the building.
And, you know, and that kind of bothers me a little bit.
He doesn't get into Canadian Comic Book Hall of Fame.
This brings us to that point of not meeting your idols, right? You have idolized somebody, a comic creator, and then you go up to him in a show, and he treats you like dirt.
Yeah.
Is he still your idol? Is it?
You cry. Are you, and go home.
Yeah. Do you cry, go home, and then reread the graphic novel, thinking of fonder memories, or do you pick up that Fantastic Four run and go, "Oh man, he didn't even like this book. What's wrong with me?"
I would like the product for what it is.
Yeah.
It wouldn't change my mind.
But I mean, like,
about the person. Like, I'll still watch X-Files, but Gillian Anderson broke my heart.
Like,
true.
Extreme example.
She was so mean to me.
An extreme example of this is Bill Cosby still funny?
That's that's kind of
now. It's an extreme example because you know his actions are pretty reprehensible.
Yes.
So it's a little bit easier to make that black and white distinction with him, but same kind of thing, right? Like, I can't read an Alan Moore book anymore. I can still read The Watchmen. And I can still read, you know, some of the other books, but I can't read any of his new stuff. I cannot spend any money that could possibly end up in his pocket. So I'll pick up a used copy of Watchmen, or I'll pick up a used copy of something else. You know, I'll reread my original Legends of the Dark Knight, you know, that kind of stuff. Not Legends of the Dark Knight, a Watchmen book. But I won't spend any money on his new stuff. Simply because, you know, if you're going to call me a mentally deficient 8-year-old because I like your work that you created, you know, it bothers me a little bit.
You know, I would say that, like, Alan Moore specifically, you know, I kind of don't care about him anymore. But I still enjoy The Watchmen. It just stops me from picking up anything else.
Yeah.
I'll read what I've got, but I don't care to go. Like, I don't have, like, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen or any of his other stuff. Yeah. And I'm not interested anymore, you know? But I will reread The Watchmen because it's just too good not to.
Now, if you are doing Sam's favorite thing, top 10 artists of all time that worked for Marvel Comics, is he in the top 10? As an artist only, not writing... Just
going back
art.
To Byrne here?
Yeah, John Byrne.
Yeah. In my opinion, yeah.
He'd be top 10.
Yeah.
Of all time.
Probably.
Considering Marvel's like, you know, 62, 63, 61, because really Fantastic Four, that's kind of when it kicked.
Yeah. The thing with me is the comics for me are the 90s. Hate it, love them or hate them. Like, that's what I remember the most. Like, I had some comics in the 80s.
Yeah,
but the 90s is where. Mm-hmm. And I like Rob Liefeld. Like, sure, the character's got small feet and big chests, but it's just part of my history.
Yeah, yeah.
So far as I'm concerned, he's in the top 10, too, and people hate that I say that.
Well, that exactly, and that's Sam's argument about hating those of all time, because when you think, you know, he's thinking, oh, a movie came out in 1908, that qualifies. Well, there's very few movie critics that will include a 1908 movie in there. In their list of all time, right? Yeah. Especially if you were born in 2005, you know, you're just not in there. So I can totally completely lose my train of thought and not remember what I was going to say.
Top 10?
Top 10.
Of all time.
Of all time. John Byrne. But, I don't know. I guess...
You're thinking about pouches.
I'm just trying to... Yeah, well, Rob Liefeld.
Lots
Leifel,
and lots of pouches.
I'm just... Yeah, see, I'm just trying to... I'm having a hard time because I do like his work. I love his stuff. I did love Arthur Alpha Flight, but I just can't get over the fact that the guy's a douchebag.
Yeah.
I just can't it's get over the fact but... that he's so mean and cruel to fans and stuff when there's so many gracious creators out there. Like, I would rather go and buy, four comics from Aishay Han and sit there and shoot the breeze with the fellow at a local comic convention than go and pick up John Byrne's coloring book.
Yeah. Well, I have no interest in this comic book or coloring book, but
you know, like, even if it's fantastic, even if it's the greatest thing he's ever done, it's just like, you know what? I'm done with you. If you're done with me as a fan, I'm done with you as a creator.
Yeah,
is that just because I'm a jerk?
No, it's just your opinion. Yeah. I'd still read the comics and like the comics. I wouldn't go out of my way to meet him.
Yeah,
or get an autograph. He's got that attitude. But odds are he's not going to be at a convention anyways, I wouldn't think, unless he's promoting his coloring book.
No, it'll have to be his own convention. He'd probably have, like, BurnCon or something. That's right.
And there'll be a bunch of comic book historians there.
Yeah. And just as a side note, I like Rob Liefeld, too.
Yeah, right.
See, I could separate. I don't need super realistic art, but I prefer it. You know, I like Neil Adams. I like that Jim Lee kind of art.
Yeah.
But then again, I can turn around and I can enjoy an Eric Larson piece, and I can enjoy a Rob Liefeld piece, and I can enjoy, you know, Jason Liu as a more cartoonish style than realistic style, and I like it, you know, that kind of idea. So I'm all right with somebody looking a little bit weird, but there are a few artists that have those kind of special styles that I can't get over, like Carmine Infantino. I just don't like him. Never did.
Who's that?
The guy who did the original Flash. Well, the original. Oh. The first Barry Allen run towards the end, the Trial of the Flash.
Yeah.
He got all really weird and sketchy and angular.
Well, the new Cage book, right?
Yeah, the new Cage comic. That's a bit of a stylistic choice, whether you like it or not. I could see some people being okay with it, especially ones that watched Cartoon Network.
Is it cartoony?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's like, it looks exactly like Powderpuff Girls or what's the one I'm thinking of? Johnny Bravo.
Yeah.
It looks like that, right?
Yeah.
That seems bizarre for a Luke Cage comic, but
yeah,
you know. But so it's okay. So, anyways, John Byrne, okay. We're gonna say okay, but with a grudging, big, huge, massive asterisk.
We should do like a top 10 each week.
Yeah, there you go. You're a jerk, especially John. When Sam's here. You ruined my childhood.
That's right.
This is why, like, childhood. I try to not read biographies about people I like.
Oh, that was exactly what some of the historians were saying on the Facebook page. Like, you just enjoy the work. Don't meet the guys. Don't talk to them. Just stay the heck away.
Yeah, just enjoy the product in a vacuum. Nothing around you.
Well, it's the risk you take. Like, I wasn't joking about Gillian Anderson. I waited for like 3 hours, which was fine because she had to leave and do a photo ops and all that and stuff and come back and you wait, and I was excited to meet her, and she's really pretty, and you get up there, and she's got the dirtiest look on her face. She doesn't say one word to you, and charges you more to personalize her picture, where typically they charge more to not, because you're going to flip it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Some silly thing. And she didn't say one word to me.
Well, she had to do extra work.
Yeah.
And spell your name, which is really hard, too.
The amount of money I paid for the thing.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's the thing. Like, I still like X-Files and that show she does on Netflix.
The Fall.
The Fall. That's I love that. You know, like, so do I want to meet her in person again? No. Other people say she's great. That's fine. Like, maybe she's having a bad day, but it's what it is.
I don't know. I didn't hear there was a lot of smooth sailing on the set of X-Files. So I think there's a couple of guys, especially some guy who's got a embroidered shirt that says DD on it. I didn't like her either.
But
there's stories about that.
Yeah.
Anyways.
All right.
Moving on.
X-Files comics.
So X-Files comics.
It's all related.
I can kind of segue top 10. Top 10 favorite movies for me is, one of them is The Lost Boys.
Yeah. That's a great movie.
I love it.
It's a comic book movie too.
And there is...
people don't realize that, but there's comic books in the movie that makes it a comic book.
Well, that's the thing, yeah. The Frog Brothers, their parents run the comic store, the carnival or whatever you want to call it, amusement park. But there is a new Lost Boys comic out. So there's been a sequel movie and the Lost Boy Reign of Frogs comic book, which is a 4-issue miniseries.
Yeah.
It was kind of a sequel, but a flashback to the Frog Brothers. Yeah. So this new comic is out. Issue number 2 came out last week.
Yeah, from DC, right?
Vertigo? Yeah, Vertigo, yeah. The covers, I'm looking at the covers going, but I pick it up anyways.
Yeah.
Finally, just read the first 2 issues tonight, and I liked it.
That's good.
Like, I was thinking, okay, this is going to be cheesy and crap, but I liked it. Yeah. You know, like it starts up not too long after the movie. Obviously, the sequel and the Reign of Frogs don't exist, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Kind of. It's one of those things where...
We won't go out of our way to say they don't exist, yeah. But we won't go out of our way to acknowledge them either.
Yeah, although there is a comic book that the Frog Brothers, I think, created about the Lost Boy movie, right? Stuff like that. But I enjoyed it. The artwork was good. Nothing to do comparable to the covers.
Yeah.
Different artists, which is fine. But it's solid lines and the character. Like, I could see Corey Feldman just in certain pictures.
Yeah.
Right? And I really enjoyed them.
You could.
So, yeah, you just never know,
right? I didn't pick that one up. I'll have to try it out.
Yeah.
Another comic book that I didn't pick up that Sam got me to try out was Motor Girl. I don't know if you saw
Motor Girl. I saw your post
for today. Oh, that was actually a hoot and a half of a comic book. Now, I'm not a Terry Moore fan. I didn't read Terry Moore stuff. I'm not that familiar with it. I knew he did Strangers in Paradise. I knew what it was roughly about, but yeah. I'd be hard pressed to name one of the characters. But this Motor Girl was actually pretty good. Number one just came out from his own little, I'm trying to remember what the studio's called. Abstract Studios.
Abstract, yeah.
That's his own little publishing house. And it's about a girl and a gorilla in a junkyard fixing cars.
Perfect.
You know, sounds awesome, right? But what they actually end up doing is they fix a UFO. And it's not specifically stated in the first issue, but in some of the press information that was released, is that the aliens that got their UFO fixed by this chick are so pleased with her work that they, through word of mouth, let everybody else know that if anyone else is cruising by in their car and they need a little pit stop, this is the place to go.
Stop in on Earth.
So in future issues, she's going to be visited by more and more aliens, and FBI and the Area 51 guys are going to be like, you know, hey, there's been a lot of sightings and what's going on. But one thing that I thought was really cool, I'm not sure if I should spoil it or not for anybody, but if you haven't read it, there's other things. Oh, no, I'm not going to spoil it. Forget it. There's a little twist in there about the girl and the gorilla, which is kind of neat, which is kind of cool. But yeah, it's her best friend. And there's a little bit of stuff in there about PTSD, and I guess she was an Iraq soldier or a soldier in Iraq.
Yeah.
So there she's got a little bit of PTSD. So, but yeah, it was a really good comic book. But the one thing I mentioned in my review was the art looked off to me a little bit, like it was rushed.
Right.
And later on, I did an edit to the review because I figured out what it was.
Printing
it? Because it's not colored. It's just a black and white comic book. Nowadays, the colorists add so much depth. They don't just color the face peach.
Yeah.
They don't just make the dress red. There's shades of red in the dress. There's shades in the face. And they really literally paint depth into the character. And that was missing. Like your Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, it's ink washed.
Mm.
So there is depth being added to it, even though it's in grayscale.
Yeah.
But this had nothing. This was just lines.
Right.
And it, nice lines. Don't get me wrong. Like, I don't want anyone to think that I hated it. It's just, when I first read it, I was like, there's something missing here. It's like the comic's not finished. Like, what's wrong? And that's what I figured out it was. Was the art was kind of flat and just line art. But, you know, I could fix that when I start coloring it with my John Byrne pencil crayon limited edition collector set.
That's right.
So, yeah, I like that comic. That was pretty good. Everybody should run out and get that. Well, what else is coming out new? I got a list here of some new stuff. Do we want to go through that?
Sure.
Chapter House. Our favorite boys in Chapter House.
Why are you sighing?
Number 9 came out last week of Captain
Canuck. I haven't had a chance to read the new ones.
So. Number 10 came out this week. Hmm. Now, both of those two issues were a little bit late, so they end up getting canceled by Diamond. Now, I usually like getting a few copies for my little collection, my little Captain Canuck collection, so I like getting a few of each cover. Comic Book Addiction and Whitby saved my 3 covers like I asked them to. They were great. No problem. And I usually go in the wild and pick up the rest, right? Nobody had them. Nobody. Went to Gotham Central, and at, I think it was 10 a.m., the store opens at 10. We got there at noon. They had 1 copy on the shelf. That's it.
Yeah.
We went to Stadium Comics up the road a bit. one copy on the shelf. Pendragon, don't even get me started. Never, ever go to Pendragon Comics. He had none on the shelf. None whatsoever. CBA only had two on the shelf.
Yeah.
Right? So it seems like the orders for 9 and 10 really dropped off from that cancellation by Diamond because of the lateness. And I'm hoping that things rebound and that's not like a harbinger of doom because I love the comic. It's fantastic. Yeah. But in February, they're continuing on with that 4 issues of Agent of Pact and 4 issues of Freelance. So issues 2 of both of those series are coming out, which should be fun. Life, Death, and Sorcery number 4, which I am not reading and I feel like I should. I don't know. You guys reading that one?
No.
I bought... Okay, it's funny because Danny Zabel follows me on Instagram.
Right on.
And I follow him and he likes all of the art pictures I draw and put up.
Right.
So I buy his comic out of loyalty.
There you go.
So I just started reading that one. I've only read issue 1 so far, but I'm going to pick up the rest. And it's interesting. There's not... Like, issue 1's a real slow burn, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I am going to pick up the rest to read it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
I'm supporting you, Danny. I'm supporting you.
I think I have number 1 somewhere. I think I got it off the Chapter House table one day. I was just picking up everything that I didn't have. So I might go back and get the other ones. It's only issue 4, so 2, 3, and 4 should be fairly simple to find at the Chapter House website. So
I put that on my Christmas list.
There you go.
Do we know if they're going to be at the fan...
Oh, the Toronto show?
Yeah, on December
10th. I think so.
Because I'm missing a bunch of stuff. So
yeah, I won't be going to that show, unfortunately. I got a few other things to do, but you might be going with a shopping list of of things to pick up. Although it is Black Friday, and they do have like some cyber sales. So
they do.
Yeah. You never know. We might pick it up that
40% off if you spend $75.
There you go. And the all-new classic Captain Canuck first volume trade paperback is coming out in February, too. So that'll be solicited in the next preview, so you can put it on your order form. So if you did miss all new Cap Canuck, you can get the trade paperback. And
or if you just like to have both.
Or, yeah, you know I'm going to have both. It's just the way I roll.
How many copies are you going to have of that one?
The trade paperback?
Well, because how many do you have of the first Captain Canuck trade?
There was a comedy of errors there where I pre-ordered it and didn't realize I pre-ordered it and ordered it from Amazon and didn't realize... And ordered it again from Amazon and forgot.
Twice from Amazon?
Up,
wow.
Picked it up in the store and then it was resolicited and I forgot that I had picked. I have a few copies. But I've been giving them out. I've been handing them out. I think I have 2 left and I've been like, you know, my cousin, here, read this. This is awesome. And read that and read this. Like, you know, trying to evangelize Captain Canuck as much as possible because it's a great comic. When you compare it to some of the other stuff that's coming out, I just dropped a couple of Rebirth titles because they just weren't doing it for me. Some of the Rebirth titles are amazing, but there's a few that are, you know, a little dud-like. And the same thing with Marvel, same thing with Image. Like, if you guys just dropped one variant and spent it on a Chapter House comic book, you will not regret it.
Yeah.
You just simply won't. You don't need 56 copies of U.S. Avengers. You need one. You know, pick your favorite state. Get the UK one. Apparently the UK one's really popular. It's like top of the sales list, right? Mm-hmm. But you don't need all 56 covers. Buy a Chapter House book for Pete's sakes, people. Canadian comics. Or 10.
Well, I guess they don't really have 10 titles ongoing.
Get out there. Get that stuff. It's good. I mean, if we don't support it, it's just not going to, you know, they can't make comics for a loss. They got to make some money, so.
Well, I find it... it's store by store with Chapter House.
Yeah.
Like here in town, a couple months ago, I asked Sam at Grey Guardian if he could order Die Kitty Die for me. And, you know, and then last week, he pulls out my books, boom, Die Kitty Die number 2. I was like, oh, Sam, you're awesome.
Nice. Right?
So I was in St. Catharines last weekend. And of course, what did you call me that one time? The Mighty Comic Book Hunter or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so there's 2 stores I stopped at in St. Catharines. The first one, I got 2 different versions of Die Kitty Die number 1 and a different version of Die Kitty Die number 2 that I didn't get here.
Yeah.
And then I got Pitiful Human Lizard number 10 was there
and
grabbed it. And
like But
then I went to another one in St. Catharines. So the first one was like on the outskirts, but outside of downtown. Downtown there's a shop and all I could see was Captain Canuck. Right. So it just depends on what store orders in what.
Yeah, it's right? just one of those things where the shop, like if you're a comic shop owner that just takes orders.
Yeah.
Your customer comes in and says, "Can you order me this? Can you order me that? Can you order me this?" You're not really a salesman. You're just an order taker.
Yeah.
You know? And don't order like CBA, I asked them for my three copies of Captain Canuck. They ordered my three copies of Captain Canuck. They put it in my box. They did exactly what I wanted to, and I'm extremely grateful for that.
Yeah.
You know, and if enough people ask them to do that, they'll say, "Hey, there's something here. There's some steam here. There's some heat. We're going to get a few for the shelf, see how it goes." But as a Canadian comic book retailer, I feel like for Canadian content, you should go the extra mile. Bring in three extra copies. Like it's three copies and give it to your top comic book buyer and say, "Hey, read this. Tell me what you think," and spread word of mouth and actually sell. Get out from behind the counter and sell the comic book. Like get out there. And I know that's tough because, you know, retailers have so much content and there's so many comic books and they're stuck with so many back issues. But if you're stuck with 50 or 60 copies of Amazing Spider-Man number one because you ordered like a Maniac, you could have bought 10 Captain Canucks as well. You could have, you know, pushed the Captain Canuck. Like, it's Canadian comics, man. This is rare stuff. This doesn't happen that often. But anyways, that's my Canadian rant. If you're not buying Chapter House, I don't like you. Go buy Chapter House comics.
Chapter House and other Canadian
comics. And other Canadians, absolutely.
Should we segue now into another Canadian comic book?
Absolutely, let her rip.
The Aurora Man number zero is getting a second print.
It is indeed.
Because Jeff Burton has sold, I think, between 600 and 700 copies of Aurora Man number one, or issue zero, the first...
650 to be specific.
I thought so, but that's why I kind of hedged it a little bit. So it's going back to a second print, and it's going to be the same story, basically. It's going to have a new variation on the cover where they've played with the cover a little bit with some color, and also there's going to be a very limited coloring book cover where you can color your own. But he's also done something cool within the comic book. They have some space opened up, and so there's a new project that's going to be in there called Little Aurora Man, featuring some characters at a summer camp that you may remember we spoke about a few weeks ago, and I happened to write that, so I'm kind of excited for this.
Excellent.
And excited is like, I'm actually like so pumped, it's ridiculous.
And how would one go about getting this second printing?
Well, the second printing hasn't happened yet. It's right. currently going to the printers and stuff. Should be ready sometime in December when the Christmas special for Aurora Man comes out. And all of that would probably, you could just go through the Aurora Man Facebook page for links to buy and purchase. But I'm definitely going to try and get some for locals.
Oh, yeah, we'll get a few copies here. So I can
shill
a
few.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's no problem. We'll get some copies in here. But yeah, no, Aurora Man, like Jeff Burton, our man with the beard, the one that
the other
we
man
all,
with the beard,
yeah, the one we that we are all envious of because his beards are far more incredible than the three of ours combined.
Apparently, there's a rumor that his beard can use chopsticks.
Yes, I've seen that.
There's been photographic evidence that
he can actually eat a meal with chopsticks in his beard.
Yeah, it's very,
it's incredible. Yeah. He's the man.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, those 650. That he sold, we're talking no distribution, barely any comic conventions because he's never gone to any big major comic conventions. This
just
is
like
all
Saskatchewan local
stuff. Yeah, exactly. This is all word of mouth. This is all, you know, some interviews that he's done on local TV, local radio, on the CBC and mail order, and it's just fun. Like it's, I'm hoping he can keep this lightning going, and
that's like 650 is a significant amount without.
Yeah,
you know, like some major.
Oh yeah, when you take a look at that. Yeah, when you take a look at major retailers pumping out a comic book with 4,000 in all of North America through a North American massive distribution network.
Yeah,
they did 4,000 copies. 650 on your own, slugging it door to door, you know, in a non-major metropolitan town. That's amazing. That's great. That's fantastic numbers. Yeah, there's nothing to be ashamed of there. That's great. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to go second print for sure. And And he did change up the cover a little bit, so you completists, you need to get this copy. You can't avoid it. So
well, they have to buy it for the special page that's in there.
Exactly. Print. So hopefully he's got at least 650 sales of issue two of the second print.
Yeah, hopefully.
You got to do that.
Yeah.
So that should be fun.
I am eagerly awaiting my Kickstarter package from him.
Yes. Yes. I've already
added to it with the book he put out. A couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that's the problem is it's like, hey, I've got trading cards. Jeff, I need some of those trading cards. Okay, I'll put it in your package. Give me some money. Jeff, yeah. I got t-shirts. Jeff, I need a t-shirt. Here's some money. Okay. Hey, Jeff, he keeps releasing stuff. And the box with all my gear in it that he's going to be sending me, it must be massive by now.
They're going to have a transport that says wide load. They'll have to have a cop block the street off to get that transport to your house.
Chris Ellis missed that Aurora Man Captain Canuck variant cover, so I said I'd get him a copy. So I asked Jeff and sent him some cash. So that's in the box, and now Chris is like, "Is it in yet? Is it in yet? Is it in yet? Is it in yet?" I'm like, "Not yet. It's coming." So as soon as that comes in, it should be fun. But I got a sketch cover by Justin Schauf, so the sketch covers are being a little, takes a little bit longer than just throwing a few photocopied comics in a box. So
yeah.
Mine, I think I'll have to be a little bit more patient for. But that's cool. That's good.
Sketch covers are really good.
Oh, yeah.
All the pictures I've seen, yeah.
It's fantastic. So speaking of Canadian comic books, Dan.
Yes.
You want to talk about the CCBA, don't you?
Well, talk about the CCBA a little bit. Let me find my notes here.
There you go. Yeah.
Shuffling of the paper.
The CCBA, which is the Canadian Comic Book Alliance, which I believe was started by Jeff because he... wants to kind of have like a shared universe between some Canadian comic book properties, independent properties.
Can I read the official statement here?
You can definitely save me here.
The CBA is a network of Canadian independent comic book creators. Let me say that again. The CCBA is a network of Canadian independent comic.
Take three.
The CBA is a network of Canadian independent comic book creators brought together to highlight all the amazing work that is being done in many different corners of the country. Thank you.
There you go.
Yes.
So there's a website and everything. I know there's a website because I did it.
Yep.
TheCCBA.ca. There's just a little starter page there, and we're working on something a little fancier with portfolios from some all the creators and stuff like this. And it's just a bunch of comic creators getting together. Banding together, having a joint logo, promoting each other's stuff. When one member of the CCBA has a comic book or a Kickstarter, all the rest of the members post it on their Facebooks and pages and gets the word out. So it's good stuff. It'll be fun. And yeah, like you said, some of these crossovers should be pretty hilarious.
Yep. I think it's cool to have this sort of like idea that they can cross over because, it's like the Marvel DC thing or something. They would never cross over nowadays.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know what? We can have a Big Nick or a crossover, maybe.
Sure, why not? It'll be fun.
So.
And I know they're talking about some fun stuff like trading cards and other things and some promotions here and a few other things in the works that Jeff's has that'll just promote the snot out of the stuff and get it out there into people's hands. Because you can have the best comic book on the planet, and if it's in a box under your bed, a print run of 1,000, and nobody knows about it, it is, I'm sorry, not the best comic book in the world. You got to get it out there. You got to get it in people's hands. You got to promote the snot out of it. And Jeff taking the lead on the CCBA is fantastic because, again, he's that kind of a guy. I mean, just look what he did with Aurora Man. So it should be fun.
And definitely for anybody who is interested in Captain Canuck or any of the other ones that we've spoken about already, like Auric and Aurora Man, this is just going to be something you're going to want to pay attention to.
Absolutely. And if anybody has any problems finding this stuff or you missed what we said on the radio show and you want more information, heykidscomics.ca, go to the Facebook page. Post us a question. We are more than happy to connect you with the right people. More than happy to answer anything that you've got, any questions, and get these books in your hands. And like Dan said, we'll try to get a stack of the Aurora Mans here into Ontario and get them distributed. And so, just let us know because we love this stuff and we just want to promote the snot out of it as well. Because nobody wants a snotty comic. Anyways, what else we got? Justice League Action. We were talking about the Cartoon Network earlier.
Right.
This is a new cartoon called Justice League Action.
Yeah.
Can we actually get this stuff up here? Or do we have to pirate it?
Probably have to pirate it, I think.
We don't get the Cartoon Network, do we?
Unless you pay for it, I think, extra.
Can you get the Cartoon Network in Canada?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Does it have this stuff? Or is it kind of like the Comedy Network versus Comedy Channel where they have some of the stuff and not all the stuff?
I don't know.
BBC Canada doesn't quite have all the stuff BBC America does. But yeah, so a new superhero cartoon. Basically, it's the Super Friends. It's the Justice League of America, Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, drawn in a fun cartoon style. I think they, my friend Art Baltazar released a comic book.
Yeah, there was a comic out last week.
Yeah,
new.
Yeah, it's a kind of a in that same style. It's not a direct tie into the cartoon, but it's the same style. It's, you know, like an all ages Super Friends type comic book. So that should be fun.
Yeah. And I'm really looking forward to the crossover.
Oh!
And I'm hoping of Arrow, Flash,
yes.
Legends, and Supergirl next week, right?
So I found out who the bad guy is. The Dominators.
The Dominators, yeah.
Oh!
Yeah.
Dan, did you read Invasion when they came out in the comic books?
No.
Did you read the trade paperback?
No.
Do you know anything about what we're talking about? That's too bad.
I don't even watch the shows.
Well... in the comic books, there was one of those big, massive crossover things.
Yep.
And in this one, it was called Invasion. And this race of aliens called the Dominators came and tried to take over everything. And the heroes, of course, had to band together. And it was actually a good little mini-series thing.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember, did that New Guardian spin out of Invasion? Or was that out of a different... You know how every time they have a crossover, new titles get slewn out the other end?
It's been so long. I've actually got... it in my pile to reread. It's been sitting there for months and I haven't read it.
But it was fun. So they're going to be the bad guys in this CW TV show crossover thing.
Remember, do we officially know where Supergirl is? Is she in a different universe or is she now in their universe? The Arrowverse?
To my understanding, she's still in an alternative universe, but they have not officially addressed that in any of the shows.
Yeah, okay.
Since she's moved to the CW.
All right.
Which I think
we're going to find out.
Which I think is kind of foolish. I mean, why would they bother? Why can't they just say Flashpoint in Flash? Flash did his little Flashpoint thing where he went back in time and he changed time ever so slightly. So in the previous, when it was on a different channel, a different network, Flash crossed over. They said it was a parallel universe.
Yeah, because he was specifically jumping around universes looking for somebody.
So now that Flashpoint happened, why can't they just say that Supergirl in this particular historical instance actually showed up? You know, the reason why Supergirl wasn't in that universe is because a meteor hit the rocket ship and she veered off and crashed into a supernova. Yeah. And here the meteor didn't and everything's good. Like, why not?
Why not?
You know, why not?
So, did you watch last week or this week Supergirl?
Which one was that? I watched, the last one I watched was the white Martian blood affecting the green Martian.
Yes.
So that's the last one?
One after? Yeah, and there was more with Jimmy as the...
Yeah, as the Guardian.
Guardian.
Who was the bad guy in that? The one that was framing the Guardian. I didn't recognize that as a character. Was that just the throw-off thing they did for TV, or was that supposed to be somebody?
I thought it was somebody, but I can't remember, to be honest with you. But Kara, Supergirl, she did throw out, because they were talking about Guardian, right? And she did throw out about the, I can't remember how, this is one of my words, specifically she said it. But she was implying about working with a nut job with a gadgets, and she says, "My cousin Superman has done that before. Worked with a nut job with a bunch of gadgets." So, the implication of Batman. That's all she said, right? That's all
I missed
she
that.
Said. That's all she said was something about
a nut job
crazy
with a
people
gadgets.
With gadgets. So everybody just, you know, my cousin knows what it's like to work with crazy guys with gadgets. Who else is it going to be, right?
Like, that would be awesome.
Yeah, so.
Because when they brought Superman onto that TV show, I have a few minor issues, but he was pretty much one of the greatest portrayals of Superman, I thought, as far as a character goes.
I think the shows are great.
Yeah.
Mon-El's on there. Like, we need to know more about him. Because I don't know like Legion probably as well as you do.
Yeah, yeah.
But why is his last name L, like Superman and Supergirl?
Well, it's kind of like if you think about it, almost like the Irish and the Scottish, or the Polish and the Czechs, you know, the now the Mexicans and the Americans. But basically, it was two planets in the same solar system.
Yeah.
And they had a shared heritage.
And they have similar powers on Earth, but yeah, not the
like,
same.
You know, it's like we speak English differently than somebody from Australia. So just like them, they would have different superpowers. Things would be slightly different because of the evolution on different planets and stuff like this. But like Mon-El's got a vulnerability to lead.
Yeah.
Kara's got a vulnerability to kryptonite, but can't see through lead.
Yeah.
You know, and I can't remember what it is, but kryptonite does something in particular to Mon-El, but not as bad as lead does. You know?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of parallels that they throw in there. And but of all those shows, Supergirl's the best so far.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
But I mean, even Arrow is a little better now that they've broken up Oliver and Felicity.
Yeah.
You know.
Now, but there's been a lot of there's been a lot of negative energy coming from Stephen Amell about this particular season.
Yeah.
He's basically saying that, you know, unless things pick up, unless things get better, there might not be another season.
But it's funny because some of us fans think it's one of the better. Like, because, and that's with all the shows. Now, I'm sorry if this is spoilers, but you've got Wild Dog.
Yeah.
Mr. Terrific.
Yep, Mr. Right? Terrific.
She calls herself Artemis, but it's not Wonder Woman's.
Yeah, it's more like a cross Artemis. Between Green Arrow had a female sidekick for a little while.
Yeah, and Ragman.
Yeah, Ragman's awesome.
I think Ragman is on Arrow, and I think that, I mean, he can be a little corny, but I think it's great, right? And all the shows are doing it. Legends are bringing in Jonah Hex and the JSA. And
I find I like watching Legends the best, but it's the one that deviates the most from everything.
Yeah.
But I still like it. Gotham has kind of dropped off my radar. Yesterday I watched like 3 episodes because that's how many were sitting on my PVR. Yeah. The rest of them I watch week to week. And
I'm not going to get into it, but the whole Penguin Riddler thing is just, anyways.
It's a bit weird.
But yeah. Where is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Like, am I not just seeing it? Because I haven't seen it for months.
No, I'm sure. Well, it hasn't been months because
weeks,
I've seen.
Sorry.
But it has been weeks, so I think they're doing one of those infamous, you know, here's the first 3 episodes or 6 episodes, and then there's going to be like a 3-month break in the next 3 episodes.
Which is dumb, because it was good.
I was spoiled as a kid. For me, it was 24 episodes. You started in September, they showed 24 episodes for 24 weeks, then the summer hit, and then it was reruns. Now it's like, oh, we're going to give you 3 episodes, and then nothing for 6 months.
Fall finales. No.
And we'll give you 6 episodes, and then a year later, we'll give you another 6 episodes. And I'm like, that might work for the British.
Yeah.
But I want my darn 24 episodes a year. Like, I want 24 episodes of Game of Thrones a year. Not the 6 that you give me.
Yeah, Walking Dead. I'll take 24.
Walking Dead. Episodes. Give me 20. Let's get those DVD box sets going. Let's get them thick and juicy. Not this.
Yeah. But I think DC is just kicking it, right? Like, they're just great. Flash, who's on? I mean, Flash is really kind of strange because the whole Flashpoint and then putting it back, but not putting it back, right?
Yeah.
And Killer Frost and the weird version of what's his face that they brought over.
Now, I like the writing the best on Flash.
Yeah.
You know?
Wally West.
Wally just came out of his little cocoon there. But something weird happened on my PVR, and last week's episode was actually a rerun, even though the text said it was the episode.
Yep.
So I thought maybe there was just a rerun, and then this week's episode came on, and I watched it, and I was definitely missing that last episode.
Yeah.
So I go through the PVR, and I record like 3 or 4 instances of the rerun of last week's. All of them are the wrong episode. So it's like somebody at CTV or whoever is broadcasting it here in Canada got the wrong disc.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, you guys kill me.
Yeah.
You guys kill me. Now we're going to have to animate the missing episode.
That's right. That's too bad, though, because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. This is the first season I've liked.
Yeah.
With Ghost Rider, which is really weird because I don't like the version of Ghost Rider that drives the car, but just seeing him is great. And then it's like gone. There's what, four or five episodes?
There seems to be some sort of a hiatus there, so we'll see what happens. Now,
did you see the last episode where it was his origin?
Yeah.
Where he's lying on the ground dead and a motorcycle
pulls up. And Johnny Cage pulls up old school.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was awesome. Spoilers. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Because I'm a Johnny Cage Ghost Rider fan, and seeing Johnny
Blaze.
Johnny Blaze, sorry.
Yep.
Absolutely. Who's Johnny Cage? Oh, that was Mortal Kombat.
Yes. Blaze, yeah.
Finish him.
So yeah, we can Johnny assume Blaze. It was like the passing of the torch or the passing of the flaming head, so to speak.
So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I guess they're going to come out with an Inhumans TV series now. And somebody was saying that the guys that do the Inhuman special effects on the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will not be contributing to the TV show.
Well, the weird thing is that the TV show was supposed to be more like the Inhumans that we know, right?
Black Bolt, Medusa. Is this going to be like a Supergirl and the rest of them? Is this going to be Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the rest of them? They're not going to be connected?
Like, don't get me started about Marvel, but Marvel just does whatever they want and they don't
care. Marvel's the king of connecting everything.
Oh, please.
They're the king of connecting everything. You see in Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you see all these helicarriers crashing and you know guest appearances by...
Sweeping up after Thor, the Dark World. Hey.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. So
this is quite the mess that Thor left in that new movie.
Exactly. Come on. Should be fun. But going along with that Inhumans TV show, there's going to be three new Inhumans titles coming out in 2017, too. Royals, which I'm assuming the Royal Family, Black Bolt and Medusa and stuff. Black Bolt and then Secret Warriors. Wasn't Secret Warriors the title of something else? Wasn't that like a
Bendis.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of Avengers team?
It was also the first appearance of Daisy / Quake from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
There you go. So they're coming out, but I mean, there's some details here, but nothing's coming out till, what was it, June or something like that?
Well, it's all about the rumors about getting rid of the X-Men and making the Inhumans the big... I don't know. I'm not...
Yeah, but they're coming out with four new X-Men titles.
Are they? See, I'm not even following
it. X-Men Gold, X-Men Blue.
Oh, I did read that,
X-Force. Yeah. So those are coming out. But, you know, again, I'm just... I'm so anti-Marvel right now that... and not on purpose. Like, I'm not sitting there going, I will not touch a Marvel comic.
No.
But I pick one up, and it's just like, you know, meh.
Jeez, I picked one up written by Bendis.
You know, I picked up Champions, and I'm like, I don't see what all the big haboo is about this. I mean, it was okay, but for Mark Waid to jump up and down and say that this is now the key Marvel comic and this is the Marvel comic for the rest of the universe, I'm like, I don't know.
Well, then I see in previews or something, I don't read previews, but that Gwenpool is apparently joining the team of Champions. Or like, I'm out if she does. That's just like, anyways. I don't know if it's a cameo, guest appearance, or
that might make
full-time.
That comic go through the roof, though.
Yeah.
That
we'll see
Gwenpool
how it goes.
Nobody wanted it.
Anyways, that's all we got time for this week. I think we used up enough dead air space. So we'll see you guys next week and have fun.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?